May the Lord help us to worship him in spirit and in truth this day. Let us commence with hymn 1075. 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Thank you. read together from the Holy Word of God, the first epistle of John, chapter 5. The first epistle of John, chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we gather in this house of prayer. Once more, Lord, thou hast favoured us with this privilege of gathering together for worship. Lord, we thank thee for the returning day of rest. Lord, we thank thee for the word that we have read together this morning. Lord, as we come now before thee in prayer, we thank thee for that precious gift of prayer. Lord, we pray that thou wilt teach us how to pray. And Lord, that thou wilt teach us what to pray for, that we may ask according to thy will. And Lord, we pray that thou put in our hearts a spirit of real prayer. Grant it to us each, Lord, we pray, that there may be those desires expressed unto thee this day. Lord, those desires, those longings, those who have come to the house of God with their various needs and concerns, do help us, Lord, to lay them at thy feet. Lord, that we may know what it is to cast all our care upon thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw us to the throne of thy grace. Lord, that our eyes may see by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we may have that access, that we may find, as it was in Jacob's day, when he saw that ladder stretching from earth to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that we may truly find that same access in and through thyself, the one who makes and bridges that gap, makes up that difference, the one that stands between poor, unworthy sinners and a just and holy God. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that we may come this morning with that boldness Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, do grant us then that access this morning as we come to worship thee. We think of those angels of God ascending that ladder. May our prayers, our desires, our petitions ascend, Lord, through thee, Lord Jesus. May we, Lord, be among those that ask. Lord, give us that faith to ask, though we may see so many failings and so many sins on our part, that we may ask, though we feel unworthy of the least of thy notice. Lord, grant us that faith that looks beyond our failings and sins and looks to the Lord Jesus Christ for that acceptance, that we may be found in him. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt grant us that access. Lord, do prepare our hearts for worship. Prepare our hearts to receive thy word. We pray thy blessing upon the reading and preaching of thy word here this day. Lord, though it is delivered in weakness by a weak sinner standing in a pulpit, may it be received in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May the word be clothed with power from on high. Lord, may our hearts be prepared to receive it, prepared of thee, prove to be that good ground. May thy word enter into our heart, we pray this day. Lord, may it not rest on the surface, but may it, Lord, enter in. Lord, may thy word be found abiding in our heart. May there be those things that remain, Lord, past this evening, past tomorrow morning, that those things that abide, the word of the Lord, it endureth forever. May we be blessed with it, sealed into our hearts by the power of the Spirit. So, Lord Jesus, Lord, do remember us in all our need this day. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each. Thou knowest how we've each come. Thou knowest, Lord, what we stand in need of. Lord, thou knowest those who have come maybe unconcerned, who have come out of duty, out of obedience maybe to parents, out of tradition. But, oh Lord, may they leave different to how they came. Oh Lord, remember those who feel to come in empty, that desire to go out with something from the service, if it could please thee. Feel that they have so little to offer by way of offering in sacrifice, but come with a broken and a contrite heart. Lord, thou said thou wilt not despise. And we pray that thou wilt regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Thou wilt, Lord, show thyself merciful and gracious. Though, Lord, we come full of our sin, Lord, we are in the body of sin. We pray Lord Jesus, that thou wilt reveal thyself, that we may have that to look to outside of ourselves, that we may be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, do remember the young, and Lord, remember those who have choices, decisions, those, Lord, who are setting out in the beginning of their life, those, Lord, who are beginning, Lord, maybe to have their own freedom. We pray for the young and rising generation. Lord, do grant them thy keeping, thy preserving. Lord, do, we pray, work mightily in this rising generation. Do, Lord, we pray, pour out thy Spirit upon them. Do guide them into that way of perfect peace. Do not leave them, Lord, to wander into the world and to find their rest there. Lord, may they find their rest in thee. Oh Lord, we pray that thou grant thy blessing upon parents. We thank thee, Lord, for the many children there are among the friends here, and we do thank thee for that precious gift, and we pray, Lord, that thou would help parents with that responsibility. Lord, do grant that they may be encouraged, they may be helped, Lord, in the burden that it is in bringing up children. Lord, we pray that thou grant that wisdom and that direction, and help us, Lord, to say no when it's right to say no. And Lord, grant that discernment, Lord, that we need, for there is much evil around in the day we live. And so, Lord, do keep us from all evil. Lord, whether young, in midlife or old, we need thy keeping power. We need thee, Lord, to be that wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us. Leave us not to our own wisdom, to our own will and way. Grant, Lord, that thy hand might be upon us for good. Do, Lord, hedge about our way and steer us and guide us into that way everlasting. Oh Lord, leave us not to remain on that broad way which leads to destruction, but guide our feet into that way of perfect peace. Oh Lord, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do remember this church and congregation, Lord. We pray thy blessing upon them. Do guide them and direct them in all things. Do provide for them, Lord, week by week. We pray, Lord, that thou would send them that help they need. Oh, Lord, do grant them a pastor after thine own heart, one to come in and out among them, one to be an under-shepherd over them, a man of thy appointing, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant them that gift, and do bless them and be with them, that as they look to thee to supply that which they feel to need. Lord, we do thank thee and praise thee for thy gospel. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that we live in a gospel day. And we do thank thee, Lord, that we have thy word in our own language freely available. And we thank thee for the freedom of worship. Though much evil abounds, though, Lord, there is many things that would discourage us, yet, Lord, we have these encouragements that we're able to meet together this morning. We do not fear our lives. We have thy word. And Lord, we pray that thou would ever spare us this liberty, this freedom in this nation. And Lord, we pray that thou go on to be gracious and bless thy word, both here and wherever it's faithfully proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Lord, we thank thee for thy servants. Lord, we pray that thou wilt send forth labourers into the harvest. Oh Lord, do grant that we may never suffer a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Lord, do make that provision continually for thy one church here below. So, Lord, do remember us now as we come to thy word. Oh, do open up our understanding of it. Oh, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Oh, we ask these petitions. We plead that blood which did for sin atone. We plead that all is washed and made clean. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt take away all our iniquity, that thou wilt receive us graciously, as we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 726. 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Dayspring from on high be near, Daystar in my heart appear. Hymn 726.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the first Epistle of John, chapter 5. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the closing verse, verse 21. The first Epistle of John, chapter 5, and the closing verse, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So the first Epistle of John, chapter 5, and this closing verse, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. This is a most precious and beautiful epistle. This first Epistle of John. It is full of love, the love of God, exhortations for fellowship with God, that desiring to know Him, and some wonderful and exceeding precious things, written by one who knew the Lord, who had a great love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think that it would end, that John would end this letter at verse 20, that it would be the closing verse, and we know it's a recurring thing, and we know. Well, he comes, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And you'd think it would be amen. But John adds this final closing remark. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Oh, may the Lord this morning so enable us to receive the word of exhortation. This is a word, dear friends, for you and me. It is a word for the church of God to the end of time. It's a word that all of us would do well to take heed of. Oh, may the Lord so apply the word that what is written is done. Keep yourselves from idols. He has spoken and written at length of the love of God. And he closes with this: keep yourselves from idols. Now, I wonder how many of you sang the first hymn we sung. I wonder how many of you, it was the language of your heart this morning, the writing over the hymn, "I am crucified with Christ." And what did we sing? Is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with thee my heart to share? Is there? Be honest with yourself this morning. Oh, haven't we? Haven't we? Many things. Isn't there at times a multitude of things that are striving in our hearts to hate, to take a place in our heart? Is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with thee my heart to share? Then we sung this, didn't we? Ah, tear it thence and reign alone and govern every motion there. Then shall my heart from earth be free. When it is found, it's all in thee. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It is a teaching of God, right through the Word of God. We go to Exodus 20, and we have the Ten Commandments given to Moses and to the children of Israel. And the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And then we have this, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We have those first and second commands. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Oh, the clear command of God. God must be first. A clear exhortation. A clear command is given that there should be nothing that comes between, nothing that comes before. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But we're sinners, aren't we? And we are prone to idolatry. I wrote a definition down of idols. What's an idol? Well, I've got two. The first definition, an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. And there are many religions, aren't there, that worship images. An image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. That's the first definition. And listen to this one. Idol. A person or thing that is greatly admired, loved, or revered. You see, the first definition, we may say, well, that's got nothing to do with me. I do not have an idol set up in my home that I bow down to. I do not have some special image. I don't have some image of brass, or I don't have a crucifix that I focus on. I don't come under that term idol. I don't have any idols. But then listen to this one. An idol can be a person or thing that is greatly admired, loved, or revered. And in the context of the Word of God, something that is before God, something that comes and takes the place, something that is set up in our own affections, in our own desires, in our admiration, can be a person, can be a thing. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. We have in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 26, verse 1, ye shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up or set up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Well, the solemn warnings. Oh, do we? Do we take heed to these warnings? We go through that chapter and we come to verse 11, and God says what he will do when those things are, those commandments are obeyed. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. You know, in the Old Testament day, it promised that union, that the presence of the Lord. And you know, you've read it many times, the life of the children of Israel, and how they were prone to idolatry. You know that when Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, how quickly they descended into idolatry, and they made an image, and they worshipped, and God was angered, and he threatened to remove his presence. You see, the Lord is God. And friends, God is not pleased. God is not pleased when there are those things that come and take away our attention and our affections and our desires and our love. Now, we'll come to this in a little bit more depth shortly, but the result of that idolatry, what was the tabernacle was taken, and it had to be pitched outside, and it was a clear sign to the children of Israel that the Lord was removing his presence from among them. Well, the threat of it was. And then Moses, what did he do? Well, he went in and he sought the Lord. And what is it this morning? You know, you came, did you, with a heart that could sing that first hymn? Lord, draw my heart from earth away. Why? Because you feel. You feel the effect. You know the effect by experience of when the world is taking more of a hold and a place in your life than it should. We have, in some respects, a difficult path to walk, don't we? We have by necessity to live and to have our business and our dealings with the world around us. We have to mingle with the world. And those of you that are in the workplace, you're in the world in that sense for a great deal of your time, if you work full time. And those children among you that go to school, you too spend much of your time. And friends, it is right. In the gospel day, we are not to shut ourselves away. But how can we then follow this final word of exhortation in this epistle? Keep yourselves from idols. When day after day through the week we're having to put ourselves in amongst those that really worship idols. And how will we not be ourselves affected by it? Because in our own hearts, though some of us may be called by his grace, we still have a heart that is prone to idolatry. Oh, you say this is a hard word. Keep yourselves. It's putting it all on us, it would sound this morning. I thought we had a religion that was done by Jesus Christ. And here you are this morning, Tim, and you're saying, keep yourself. Keep yourself. Well, Paul takes up the same point, doesn't he? In a slightly different way. In 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Then he says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Keep yourselves from idols. Flee from idolatry. You know, driving across this morning, it came into my mind. I heard of this older lady. It's going back a number of years now, and there was a pressure put on her, I think by maybe family members, that she should buy a television. And you know, it would be good for not making her feel alone. All sorts of reasons were no doubt given. Anyway, she succumbed. And she ordered this television. And it was delivered to her home. And as it was carried in through the front door and into the lounge by those that were delivering it, she saw written on the box, on the outside of the box of the television. And it was an advertisement. It was an expression of the company. And what did it say? It said the name of the firm, the company who made the television. It said, "Bringing the world to your living room." It was their slogan, their mantra, their endeavour. It was what they thought was a selling point of that television. It said, "Bringing the world to your living room." And she took one look at the right wording on the side of that, and you know that which was meant to sell that television or boast of the power of it and the greatness of the clarity of the picture, whatever else they were trying to sell, it was an arrow in her heart. "I can't have that. Can you take it back, please?" Wasn't even unwrapped. It was like an arrow in her heart, bringing the world into your living room. Well, you can fast forward. And what do we have? I'm not here to tell you. You all know what we have. We have the world in our hand. The world in our pocket. Oh, what need we have, don't we? Paul's exhortation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. "Dearly beloved, flee. Flee from idolatry." You say, keep yourselves from idols? Well, friends, don't we know how to run to idolatry? Don't we find the natural inclination left to ourselves is toward idolatry? Are there those alarm bells that ring? Oh, have we a conscience that is touched? You say, what is an idol? Let's move away from an image of brass or stone or wood. What is an idol to you and me this morning? Or maybe let's look at it from a different view. Have you come into the house of God and, oh, you feel the real nearness of the Saviour this morning as you long to and love to? Do you feel this morning to be in the love of Christ? Do you feel to be walking in this morning with your cup running over? You're wondering, you're so full. Oh, you don't want to spill a little drop of it this morning. Or is there some coldness? Some lukewarmness? Is there some indifference this morning? Oh, what is it? Oh, Lord, draw my heart from earth away and make it only know thy call. Speak to my inmost soul and say, I am thy Saviour, God, thy all. Oh, dwell in me, fill all my soul and all my powers by thine control. Idolatry. Persons, people, things.
those things maybe that haven't suddenly come, but there's that creeping effect. And gradually, step by step, they've taken up more of our time. Therefore, they take more possession of our thought. And when we have no time, we have no time to think. And when we do think, our thoughts are taken up with something other than. And may the Lord help us each. May the Lord search, shine the light of truth into our heart. Oh, what is it that's taking up too much? There's a balance. Yes, you may have work. You've got your responsibilities. So many things that call on your time. So many things that you've got to think on. Do we pray as often, as frequently as we ought? Is this a concern? That those of you that have heavy responsibilities, those of you that carry large and weighty burdens and matters that you feel are all consuming. Are we following that exhortation? Be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. No, are we casting all our care upon him, proving that he does care for us? Are we doing too much? Are we doing too much? You know, it comes close, doesn't it? But you know, Satan will have us busy. His desire is to fill our hearts with anything that we might not have room for the Lord. You have, and I have, an active, powerful enemy who is deliberately doing all in his power to separate you from God. He'll separate you in your thoughts, in your affections. He'll even try and separate you from the house of God. You know, some of us have loved the house of God. Why? Because we found it a place. It's like a little sanctuary from the busyness of the world. When the Lord has helped us to come in, we've given us that help in worship, just for an hour or so, a few things have been laid aside, and there's been something else other than the day to day. But friends, what is it? What is it with you and I? What is it that has come? You know, I'm not here to give a great list of all the things. We'd be here all day, and we still wouldn't cover the multitude of idols. Each one of us have a different, we're different characters, we're of different dispositions. But we can become obsessed. We can give too much thought and care. And in doing so, we find no room in our heart, no room in our life, no room in our thoughts for God. Oh, what need we have
You know, the Lord Jesus twice cleansed the temple when here upon earth. Right at the beginning, we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 2, we read of him going in and driving out the buyers and sellers. And then in that last week, before he laid down his life, again he went into the temple and drove them out. And don't we each stand in need of that same cleansing? What did David find? You know, when his mind was taken up with those things that were for the honour and glory of God, when David was fighting, when David was active, when he was active in doing what God had told him to do. Oh, when David at times was in difficulties and desperation, oh, that the nearness, the closeness, the close walk he had. And then what do we find? We find David when there's a time of a bit more comfort, a bit more ease, but when he's at home, when he's left to himself, oh, he's taken up with the lust of the flesh. Self-gratification. Something came before the Lord, and it was his own pleasure. The idol of self. And what? Where was the Lord? And one sin leads to another. David seems as far off from God. Friends, these things can happen when we're left to ourselves. We are not throwing any stones at David. We all have our idols. Oh, but God in his mercy, he sent Nathan the prophet. And it was, "Thou art the man." David was brought to true confession of that sin. A spirit of repentance given. And he fell before the living God. Sought for the mercy and forgiveness of his sin, and God gave it. What was his prayer? Well, we read it, don't we, in Psalm 51. What was it? "Create in me a clean heart." Oh, don't we need the Lord Jesus to come and do what he did in the temple? Do that for us. How can you and I flee from our idols when we're so taken up with them at times? Flee from them? We don't want to let loose the grip on them at times. Don't find the power within us. So taken up we are at times. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit." Oh, the cleansing. The cleansing. The renewing, the restoring. That's the work of God. Oh, do you feel the need of it this morning? What is it? What cloud is hanging over you this morning? What is it that's separating? You know, I drove here this morning. It was foggy. When I left, it was foggy nearly all the way here. Really foggy. And then the car flashed. It said how low the temperature was. And then I came along the A14 and the fog seemed to disappear. And out into the sunshine, and the temperature and the reading in the car went up, and the sun was shining through the window. Oh, the difference. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Are you waiting on him in prayer? Is he withholding the answer? The Lord knows. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Your sins are separated between you and your God. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I knew the Lord? When my heart was overflowing, what's robbed me of it? What's stolen the light, the heat, the warmth, the love of God? What is it? Oh, it probably won't be something obvious. How these things creep. It may be a number of things. The Lord knows. Oh, may he reveal it to us each personally. Oh, that he might bring us out of darkness into light. Oh, that the Son of Righteousness might arise upon us. The day spring from on high be near. Day star in my heart appear. That was our second hymn. Dark and cheerless is the morn. And then what do? Oh, we take more idols. Take more things. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. You know, dear friends, even the gift of God can become an idol. Oh, be careful. Those of you that have sought for a particular thing in prayer, those of you maybe that have had to wait a long time for something in prayer, and the Lord gives you that gift. Oh, be thankful. But be cautious. Oh, do not obsess over the gift. But look to the giver of the gift. Give him the glory. You know, Abraham had to wait a long time. The promise of a son. And the Lord gave him. And gave him Isaac. Oh, the son of promise. And then the Lord tried him. You know, friends, oh, that we might see Abraham and his faith in the light of our own little experience. What about you and me? Would you get up early to fulfill what the Lord had commanded if it was to offer up that which you had waited long for? Oh, how precious a gift Isaac was to Abraham and Sarah. The child of their old age, take thy son, thy only son. Would you? Would I? Is there? Have we those things? You say, I'll do anything for the Lord but that. Everything you would offer up, but you've drawn a circle around this particular thing. Oh, what a place that was for Abraham and for Isaac. The Lord blessed him greatly. Oh, the Lord gave him true living faith. Faith in the promise given. Look beyond what he saw. Looked by faith to that which was not seen. And was made willing to offer up on the altar his only son. And just as he takes a knife, the Lord speaks. Oh, and shows him. He proved him there, didn't he? And showed him such a sweetness in that substitution of that ram caught in a thicket, offered in the place of Isaac, but setting forth the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ in the place of his poor, unworthy people, suffering for them, the just for the unjust. Friends, what a sweet and precious thing when you and I are brought and made willing to offer to the Lord, to lay all at his feet, to even give our own lives as a living sacrifice, to hold nothing back. Achan, he took that which he shouldn't have done, and he withheld from the Lord those things which he should have given. And the Lord was displeased. Oh, John exhorts us, little children, keep yourselves from idols. We come to a close. We must close. Let's close with a word from Jude's epistle. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Oh, friends, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Oh, may he fill our hearts with his love. Oh, may there be no room for idols. Oh, may we know what we often sing, but do we really mean it? I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. It's a whole heart. It's a whole heart that God will have. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, may the Lord reveal more and more of himself, so there's no room for ourselves in our own estimation. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30 and preach to us again this evening at 6:30. He's also expected to preach on Tuesday evening at 7:00. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30 and address the Sunday school. Our closing hymn is number 1057. 1057.
Light of those whose dreary dwelling borders on the shades of death, come, and thy bright beams revealing, dissipate the clouds beneath. The new heavens and earth's creator, in our deepest darkness rise, scattering all the night of nature, pouring day upon our eyes. Hymn 1057.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.